You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Live and in Technicolor and in stereo. Scott Bogman, Chris
You say
Welsh.
Texicolor?
Technicolor.
Yeah, that's why I know that's what it is. I just It sounded like you said Texicolor.
No, Technicolor. It's because I'm sick. Don't sick shame me. You're sick shaming me. Saying I'm saying words that I'm not saying. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Hey, you know what? Sickness, the Welsh, zero shares.
Oh, boy. You're the worst person. We have to there's a poll debate. Is the person that says zero shares the worst person on the planet? Answers, yes or yes.
Yes or hell yes.
Or
those
hell
are
yes.
Your two responses.
Yeah, very popular. I'm actually surprised we don't have, or no, we do have a shirt. I was about to say, we don't have a shirt. We absolutely have a zero share shirt.
Yeah,
people should go check it out. InThisLeague.com is a very, very helpful place to go if you like our universe. Think of it like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but a fantasy and two fat guys. Like, if you can
I guarantee you, if we had a Marvel had like a traveling is kind of like a Marvel carnival, right?
A Marvel carnival? What is that, pray tell?
So I took my cousin to it, and it was you would think it sounds cool, like they're like all kinds of Marvel exhibits and
doesn't
games
sound
and,
cool, so
and all this stuff. Like, it was basically a giant gift shop and like six things to do inside their little carnival thing. There were a couple games where you had to stand in line for a half hour. They had like this Iron Man game, and then they had this what was the other one? There was one that was like a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. training thing where it was like everybody points their weird little laser guns and fires, and then they had statistics at the end of the game.
I mean, this sounds like the worst time.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, it was not fun.
Okay, just so, checking.
Yeah, yeah, it was not fun, but it definitely cost a lot. It was like $35 a person for the tickets. So I was like, okay, well, this was a horrible Christmas present for my cousin. But we went, and it was not worth it.
Okay, well, guess what? You know what is worth it? The ITL Cinematic Universe. That is
what
worth
I'm
it.
Saying is, like, if we had that type of carnival, what would our rides be? Like, what would we have? Like beat Bogman and cheeseburger eating.
I mean, there'd be like, yeah, you'd have like the Nathan's hot dog eating. You'd have eating contest, lots of eating contests.
Be probably, angrier than the Welsh.
Yeah. I mean, what is that though? Like, what is that one? That's, I mean, you know what that would be? That would just be slamming the hammer and the thing going up like ding, ding, this anger. There would definitely be a shooting one, you know, where like you're taking target practice, a pitching one. Got to have pitching in the basketball. You know what? It's funny you say this. I went to a carnival with my kid a couple years ago. It was one of those ones that like comes to your town. You know, one of those that you see the rides and you're like, nah, I don't
like
trust
the
you.
South Park one where they call shenanigans on all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I don't trust you, rides. You don't look safe. You look like the ones that are going to fall off and roll down the street. But we went to some of the games and they had a basketball one. And I'm a sucker for any basketball game. So I give the guy, you know, whatever it was, $75 for two shots or however much they charge so you can win one, you know, freaking stuffed bear.
And
the basket's pretty far back there. And you can tell it's also one of those, like, you know, those triple ringed hoops? You know, the ones that if you ever go to like a park and you see that and you're like, well, I'm not making any shots today. One of those. The guy hands me the basketball. I'm telling you, it's just essentially a watermelon. It's it is not a ball. It is an oval. I looked at him and I was like, are you kidding me? And he's like, that's what we got, man. And I was like, what? This is a basketball that they took a hammer to.
I should own your carnival. That's how impossible.
You had to make like three shots of the 10, made five of them. And I snatched that big ass stuffed animal he gave me so hard from his hand, and I gave him the glare. I was like, I see you. Like, with the fingers. I know
because,
what you're doing.
Because that poor bastard is the guy who made it up, right?
Of course he did.
Definitely is. No, he's not. He's just a poor sap working there. Why you got to get mad at that guy?
Because he took the hammer to the ball. Because he handed me an oval basketball, not a basketball. He handed me a watermelon with stripes on it, and it was purple. You can't get a watermelon in the hoop. You had to hit it perfect. And I was feeling good, by the way. That was one of those where, like, I should have turned around and done the Steph Curry, because there are a couple other guys, you know, more athletic, probably better looking, probably more successful, that were just missing everything. And I hit
those. There were other people at the park.
Yeah, they were just guys. They were just human beings. And I felt pretty good about myself, by the way. So, okay,
anytime you can, shyster a shyster, it's a pretty solid
team. It is a pretty good. So if you want to, hey, you want to shyster us, you could join up and be a part of our crazy group. InThisLeague.com can get you to Patreon.com. That's our insider program where you can be in our GroupMe rooms. There's a ton of like listeners that are in there. They're creating new leagues all the time, doing really cool, fun stuff. We do secret comedy shows. We have ranks, of our special ranks.
Yeah, Welch's prospect ranks in there. And I've got the NFL draft ranks.
We do chats too. I just did a prospect chat the other day. It's well worth your time. It's worth your money, and you're supporting us just like the book 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debate, $6.99 on Amazon. Go get it today. So leading back up to where we left off in the last segment, we've got two more debates that we put out there. So officially, Alex Bregman, boom, defeats Brian Dozier. I don't know if I'd call it a I might call it a knockout because it was 60-40. That's kind of a knockout.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him the knockout win. Two more here. Luis Castillo versus Jose Berríos. Do you have ADPs up right now, Bogman?
Yeah. So Luis Castillo is going off at 93 and Berríos is going off at 94.
Oh, it's like we planned it. It's like we planned it. It's a beautiful thing. Luis Castillo, one of the buzziest starting pitchers that everybody says they want to own. Jose Berríos was him last year and the year before that. Everyone wanted to own Berríos. He definitely is back in the comfortable conversation. I think people would like him as their SP4. I think he's many people's SP3, as is Luis Castillo. Pairing these two guys up against each other, I think, is an awesome debate. And you tweeted out, so people are looking for it. Bogman Sports tweets out, who would you rather have in standard 5x5 for 2018, Jose Berríos or Luis Castillo? So where do you sit on this debate?
You want me to tell you what the poll is right now?
Yeah, you can. We can start with the poll results.
Right now, it's 54% to 46% in Luis Castillo's favor.
I'm shocked at that, by the way.
You know what?
I'm not because of the buzz. Because a lot of the smartest people we know and our friends, Alex Chamberlain, Paul Spohr, just throw any name out there. You can't go 10 feet without hearing somebody in this universe talk about Luis Castillo. So I think from a buzz factor, I'm not surprised. From an actual draft standpoint, I am a little surprised.
So this one is way less close than Bregman and Dozier. You know, I could change my mind tomorrow and not be shocked.
Yeah, sure.
I had them three spots away out of everybody. They're right next to each other positionally. So I could see myself change my mind on this one. This one isn't nearly as close to me. I have Castillo at 90 in my rankings, and I've got Berríos down at 105. So they're a full round different for me. And I think what this boils down to is XFIP and Berríos really being up and down and having a couple weird splits. He was way worse in the second half. He was way worse on the road. He's much more comfortable at home. And Luis Castillo was just kind of a steady Eddie guy. You know, his ERA last year was 3.12. His XFIP was 3.41. So, you know, you could expect a little bit of regression, but that swinging strike rate is sexy too. 12.6% swinging strike rate, 98 strikeouts in 89 innings, down to 32 walks. I mean, you know, it's not fantastic. You're still walking over three a game, but that's not that bad either. So I don't know, man. I really like Luis Castillo. Of course, in a wins league, you have to factor that in. And the Reds,
this is standard 5x5.
Yeah, it is. And the Reds could be a team that doesn't get many wins. And Castillo only had three last season in 15 starts. But that's all. I mean, that's even bad luck on the Reds.
I'd also point out that Luis Castillo, you know, between AA and the Reds, he had about 160 innings last year. You're probably primed not to go over 180, where Berríos should be. I think he should be let loose this year. I think this is a potential 200-inning guy. He went 145 in the majors because I think there's a difference that people should understand. There's a difference between the majors and the minors in total innings that have gone out there. And you bring up great points. That's, I think, a key thing to consider here as well. Luis Castillo is sexy. He's very sexy. Everyone's very excited about him. Ooh, the potential. You know, ooh, I'm going to get my ace. This is the next Robbie Ray. You know, that's kind of the feeling about it. I'm cool with that, but my problem with him, and I think there's a couple of, I think my boy Ryan Bloomfield, Baseball HQ, he said this, a couple other people. My problem with guys like Luis Castillo, and I'll just throw out like Ozzie Albies as another one, is the inherent profit that you get from these players is diminished by a decent amount. Like maybe Castillo is still out there. If people really think he can be a top 50 player and put up Chris Archer like numbers, then you're still getting a discount. I just don't think that's the case. So I think his value is being stripped. I look at a guy like Berríos, the 14 wins, fantastic. Strikeouts were a little bit lower than you usually expect, but a couple factors in here. His home run total, which I think is interesting when you look at home run to fly ball, the guy had 145 innings in the majors, had an under 9 home run to fly ball ratio because he's not a ground ball pitcher, only 39% ground ball. So the ball gets in the air, but he doesn't give up that many homers. It was under 1 a game. He also was a little unlucky. The amount of players that he left on base, only 70%. Usually the average is in the 75% range, and the guys that get the extra lucky seasons, like Greinke had a couple years ago, are up in the 80s. Luis Castillo, 80% on the left on base. He's giving up more homers. His home run to fly ball is 17.2. Now, that's not to try to crap on Castillo because every other measurable thing, like you said, swinging strike percentage is really great. I just think Jose Berríos is a good, solid value at this point. And I have, and kind of almost opposite of you, I've got Jose Berríos at 97 on my ranks, but then I've got Luis Castillo at 104. So I'm more likely to own Berríos. So that's why I'm more in that camp. And I'm not surprised, I guess, that Castillo's winning. I'm just surprised that it wasn't, I don't know. I mean, maybe 50. I mean, now it's down to 53%. That's not that much, but I don't know. I kind of thought maybe Berríos might take this by 2%. And, you know, the Castillo homers are just, you know, sitting idly.
It's that upside. It's really that upside for Luis Castillo. And to be honest with you, I think outside looking in, you know, the stat that you look at for hitters is usually homers. And the one you look at for pitchers is strikeouts, which is why this one to me is a little less surprising than maybe Brian Dozier. But I think the age thing, because baseball is very ageist. I think Mason was saying that in one of his, you know, one of the 8 million things that Mason was doing the other day. He kept calling everybody ageist in baseball. You know, you turn 30, you're old news. It's like models. You know, you turn 30, you're old news. We want the 18-year-old.
You want to know an amazing fact that you probably didn't realize? Did you know that Luis Castillo is 2 years older than Berríos?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jose Castillo is 25 years old. Berríos, 23. He'll turn 24 in late May. I think that's...
Well, for the pitchers, I think this is more the strikeouts, not the age.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking. You mentioned age. All right, let's do the last one here. This is a good one, though I kind of felt I knew where this would go. You asked, who would you rather have in standard 5x5, popular Christian Yelich, versus Starling Marte? Now, tell me where the ADPs are on Yelich and Marte.
Right now, we have, let me get to it here. We have Starling Marte is at 54 and Yelich is at 60. And now remember, Yelich was at...
How old is that?
That, I mean, that's today. That's when
off
I
of
look
what?
A couple hours ago off of Fantrax.
Okay,
so
that seems off.
I think that Yelich is going to be way higher than Starling Marte before the season starts, because I think a couple weeks ago he was at like 85 or 90.
Well,
and now he's up at 60.
I've got both of the, you and I actually, another one of these, you and I have Marte at the same spot. We both have him at 44 overall, but not Yelich. I have 40. I have Yelich at 41. You have Yelich behind Marte at 50. So are you a Marte guy here? Because I'm a Yelich guy through and through here.
Yeah, I'm a Marte guy here. I think that Starling Marte last season was a guy that we wanted to take in the second round. He was going off in the second round and, you know, big fat cheater, got suspended and all of that. And I think that he's kind of going off at a value. You take a guy in the second round because you think he can do that. I still think that he can do that. I still think that Marte can hit for 40 or can steal 40 bases. He stole 47 in 2016. Last year, he stole 21, but he played less than half the season at 77. So I think you're going to get those, you know, 30 to 40 stolen bases easy from Marte. And the home runs I can find somewhere else. He only had 7 last year, but that puts him as a, you know, if you extrapolate, which you're not supposed to do, and I understand that, but even if you're going for less than half, if you double those numbers, that would be 144 games. He would have 14 homers and 42 stolen bases. That's tough to find anywhere. So Yelich is definitely going to hit for a higher average, but I think there is a potential for Starling Marte to be right there with him, plus steal way more bases.
What I think is interesting when I look at this is these are actually two guys I think I'd really like to own. Like, a lot of these debates sometimes come down to places like I'm like, I don't know if I'd want both of these guys. But I could see myself not taking an outfielder in the first 3 picks. You know, maybe I'm getting a Arenado, and then I'm getting, you know, maybe Kluber comes back to me, and then I don't know, I get like a Bellinger or something like that. I'm thinking wishfully. And then I come back and I can get Marte and Yelich. I feel like they cover a lot, especially if you get a couple big boppers to start. Maybe even you go Stanton or something like that. I think this is interesting. The debate, though, handily Christian Yelich. 61% want Christian Yelich over Marte. That's why this is one of the first that I would argue of ADPs being way off, because I think when we start getting Yahoo's just opened up, when ESPN opens up, I think we're going to start seeing some skewed stuff, and those ADPs are going to drastically change, because I just don't think that's correct, because Yelich, like you said, is going to go much, much higher over Marte.
Yeah.
It's a great debate here. Christian Yelich, knockout. Brian Dozier, knockout. Or Alex Bregman, knockout, I mean. And then Luis Castillo, he's going to win in a decision. It's down to 52% to 48%. So go check it out. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Those are the Twitter handles that you can vote and you can weigh in your opinion on. Don't go anywhere. We got more baseball. We're going to talk football and basketball in the third hour. We're going to talk about some spring training stuff. Best shape of our life, as we like to say. Fat Harvey. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League. Bogman and the Welsh.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
It's In This League.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for
In This League?
Answer me! Suck my white ass!
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
You can do that if you want. I don't care. In This League, Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, hour 2 of 3 hours. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. They've lost their minds. They've gone crazy. They won 3 hours of Bogman and the Welsh talking about nonsense, playing our goofy fart joke clips and just hearing all of our nonsense. What were we talking? I mean, what have we talked about so far? We talked about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We just get a nonsense. Speaking, this is not nonsense. So I'm a big prospect guy. People want to listen to prospect coverage. Go to Prospect One. That's my podcast you can listen to. We get all the big prospect guys. It's I think it's one of the better in the industry. I think some people consider that is a true statement. Some might not. But one of the things I do is I go out, because we're in Arizona, I get coverage of like everything. Like, spring training is next week, I'm trying to get my media pass, setting up to go see all the prospects, get in the backfields when it gets extended spring training and AZL and rookie league. I'm out there. I've got great video on my Twitter handle of, you know, all the guys I got to catch this year before anyone else. Nick Prado, Mackenzie Gore, Hunter Green, all that stuff. But in the Arizona Fall League, there's this guy that I knew of, but I didn't know enough of. His name was Thyro Estrada. He's kind of like a super utility guy. Kind of reminds me of like a Martin Prado, to be honest with you. And, you know, he's a confident guy, New York Yankees, and he played well. You know, he's a strong bat. Most assume he's going to be a super utility guy. They just announced like 2 days ago that Thyro Estrada was shot in the hip in a robbery in Venezuela, but he's still going to play a bulk of the season. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I was next to this guy multiple times. He was shot in the hip in Venezuela. And
wait,
then
a
I
minute.
And then
did
I
you shoot him?
No, I didn't shoot him. I didn't shoot him. I don't.
You
I,
didn't shoot him?
Don't own a gun.
Are you sure?
Yeah. But then you see, like, Elian Diaz, I think his name is, the catcher with the Pirates, his mother was kidnapped. I think it was in Venezuela. And it was like a ransom thing. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? It took me back to Wilson Ramos, the catcher for the Rays, who got kidnapped himself.
Yeah. And do you remember the whole kind of legend behind that or whatever? I don't know if it was confirmed, but a lot of people said that because him and Miguel Cabrera were really good buddies and they're both from Venezuela, that Miguel Cabrera just paid the ransom. You know, they wanted like $600,000 or something. He just gave it to him. It's like, here's $600,000. Give me my friend back. So
that's give me back my son.
Give me back my friend.
It's so weird because I saw, when the World Baseball Classic was out here last spring training, I saw Team Venezuela. And it was Miggy and Salvador Perez, and there were just a whole bunch of guys. I got to see Team Puerto Rico and Team Venezuela. Jose Altuve, Rougned Odor, Miguel Cabrera, Carlos Gonzalez. That was all Team Venezuela. You think about the talent that is out there. But then, like, I see these issues and I'm like, maybe these guys need to not go back. Maybe they need to bring their whole family here because it is rough in the streets. You're getting shot while getting robbed. Your parents and yourself are getting kidnapped because you play baseball and you have some money.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of horrible stuff going on between the United States and Venezuela. That's very contentious at this point.
I mean, yeah. The U.S. versus anyone is contentious right now.
Right. And then there's the travel ban. So, you know, if any of a teammate's family members have any type of a record, they probably wouldn't be able to come over. So and people are comfortable and, you know, home is home. So,
I mean, when you're not taken out of it forcefully and put in a box.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Home is home. Unless, you're eating popsicles and having to tell everybody that you have Crazy Bear.
Totally. Thank you. Where is we need what is his name?
Man on Fire. Denzel Washington.
No, but the character.
Creasy. John Creasy.
John Creasy. That's what you need. John Creasy. Man on Fire. Like, top notch movie. How many people you think Creasy's listening to this have seen it?
Is he out of death?
That was Dakota Fanning when she was like that little annoying girl, but she super wasn't annoying in this. Mark Anthony, that SOB. Oh, Mark Anthony can get it in this movie. Denzel Washington, Christopher Walken. It's like Ape. I'm going to go watch that. When we're done, I'm going to go watch Man on Fire.
It's a great movie. It's one of my favorite movies ever and just one of the best revenge movies of all time.
You know, maybe Denzel Washington should just make himself for hire to make like a video that all baseball players can just send to Venezuela. And just like all criminals get a video of Denzel Washington or just maybe
this is the last time John Creasy was in Mexico City.
You know what?
You think about that. Venezuelan kidnappers.
Send a copy of Man on Fire. That's all. Send them all a copy of Man on Fire just so they realize that, like, listen, these guys could get Denzel Washington on them. Listen, you could get Denzel Washington on them. Stop shooting people. Stop kidnapping people. It is. Crazy.
Didn't Ugueth Urbina get arrested for like having a bunch of slave workers in Venezuela also?
I don't know. Esteban Loaiza just got popped for like just tons of heroin, just pushing hair. I don't know, man. Like, football gets a lot of bad rap. You know, you get the occasional Jamal Anderson or was it Jamal Lewis being a coke dealer, and there's occasional little things. Basketball, they got their things. Getting popped. But baseball is like, you know,
there's crime everywhere, but kidnapping is a big deal.
Yeah, it's like it's an episode of Narcos is what is essentially happened in baseball at all times.
And I'm looking here, and I mean, we don't mean to S on Venezuela, especially if you're from Venezuela. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that has come out of Venezuela. I mean, you know, Miguel Cabrera, Jose Altuve, two of the best baseball players in baseball, and are super charitable dudes too, are from Venezuela.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm looking at Ugi Urbina here. He returned to baseball on Friday after serving 7.5 years in prison for the attempted murder of 5 workers on his family's ranch. And this article was from 2012. So,
Jesus. And then you think on top of it, I mean, I don't even know where to go with it. I don't know where the conversation goes without it getting controversial. Well,
the Venezuelan Winter League, you know, that's a big deal. I think a lot of teams are going to stop sending players down there.
But you think of all
because
of
kidnapping
it,
and because if you say that Dylan Cousins can't hit a curveball, he'll beat you up.
Yeah. So. But that's true. You also think about just stuff. I go to start thinking like Yasiel Puig needing to like, you know, sneak into the country on a boat, leave the country. The countries won't let these players leave.
Threatened to cut his fingers off.
It's wild. It's like out of a movie. Like the thing that happens in baseball that makes it so just fascinating from a human perspective is just those stories that seem so outlandish that they can't be real. And they are real in baseball. Not to say that football and basketball don't have their, you know, their set of stuff. There's probably stuff in hockey, but there's just nothing like it in baseball where, you know, it's, I mean, also baseball has become a worked commodity in foreign countries. I mean, kids are like, their school is just to learn baseball. You know, these camps, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw, I think it's called Jugador. It's a player in Spanish on Netflix. It's a great, God, who is it? Oh, it falls around Miguel Sano.
I was about to say, is that the Miguel Sano one?
Yeah, it's Sano and a dude who the Astros signed who said he was 16 but actually was like 19 or something along those lines. And it was like they showed both of them how all these people were super skeptical about their age. And they took Miguel Sano to do a bone density test because they're like, all right, well, let's just go to the hospital where he was born and look at the official birth records. And they go to the hospital and they pull out this, I mean, it looks like the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. And it's just page after page of kids being born. They had to go, you know, 1,000 pages into it to find Miguel Sano in it. And it's just interesting, you know, and we're big dummies and don't know about foreign countries, except for I know the capital, Chile, and the Welsh doesn't believe me that I didn't look it up.
I 100% don't believe you didn't look it up. But I don't know. All I know is Thero Estrada goes home and gets shot in the hip and robbed, and Elian Diaz's mother is kidnapped. And this is just because these are baseball players.
Yeah.
Because you play baseball.
People know. People know that you're rich, yeah. And they want to get your money.
But come to Phoenix, and you're going to get hounded by autograph hounds, and that's what you're going to deal with. So I don't know. I don't know where you find the medium. I thought this was interesting. This is we always love to have this conversation. This is an official best shape of his life alert. Yes, that's official. Matt Harvey is in the best shape of his life, according to People. According to People, he's in a good place.
Welsh, I have an announcement. I'm in the best shape of my life.
I have been working at the best. I am not in the best shape of my life. I'm fighting the worst shape of my life. But I'm working towards it.
I'm actually 5 pounds away from the worst shape of my life.
Yeah.
Because we've been on this diet. So
I saw that I think it was Mickey Callaway was talking about Matt Harvey to say like, oh, you just got in some bad habits last year. And I was like, yeah, why don't you list all those bad habits? Like, you know, falling for women that are never going to actually want you, getting into depression and eating bonbons and ice cream in your hotel room.
Didn't he not show up to the ballpark a bunch of times too?
Yeah, and they tried to get him at the hotel.
They show up for work.
Show up for work. Stop being a crybaby. You're a super popular player. You had lots of talent. Yeah, I don't know where that is. And stop eating yourself into a hole. Listen, I can eat myself into a hole because I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm no person.
You have no teammates that count on you.
No.
Maybe your wife and children.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, maybe. Exactly. But there's not millions of dollars on the line. There's not an entire city. I mean, not to say the family isn't important, and maybe that's part of his problem because I don't have a family. But Matt Harvey, like, oh, crybaby, I love a family.
That you already have a picture of Matt Harvey like eating ice cream with no lights on, but the television, like, oh, I don't have a family.
He's got a blanket over
his
him.
Left me.
Yeah, he's not smart enough to like have like a PS4 to play like Call of Duty. Like, I don't think Harvey has that in him. So he just sits there and he watches like romantic Ryan Reynolds comedies and he just cries about Adriana Lima. Like, give me a break.
I might cry about Adriana Lima.
Yeah, sure,
too.
You're going to cry, but what's your be thankful you got any of it. All of us are on Instagram like,
bet
what
you
I
have
would give.
Loved and lost than never loved at all, right? The Welsh.
Dude, I'm telling you. How many times you've been on Instagram and had the diabetes effect where, like, I would give my left leg just for a night with that? Like, Matt Harvey got that, and he's crying about it.
I had the regular diabetes effect just walking around. So.
I look at Lindsay Pellis, and I'm like, it can have it all. Can have everything.
Oh, man.
Oh, I give it all, man.
I would risk it all.
Risk it all for Lindsay Pellis. And he's crying about that, and he's in horrible shape, and the positive is they think they've identified the issues. I mean, this is spring training, so of course they have. He's going to have a great season. He's going to be the original Matt Harvey, blah, 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 blah.
Get him with the cattle prod and tell him to get to the game? I mean.
Yeah, they send him to fat camp? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can assume.
They found the problem.
Tell us what the problem is.
Yeah, the
like
problem was he's fat and he didn't show up.
Yeah,
everybody
tell me.
Knew that.
Can you kick my ass?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you knew what the problem was last year. He was fat. He didn't show up. His ERA was up over 6. He was terrible.
Dude, he's gotten worse.
He had 19 games played, 18 starts. He's just not good. He had losing record.
I've never seen anything like this. 5 straight years of getting worse. Here's his ERA from 2013 to 2017. I guess that's 4 years. 2.27.
Amazing.
2.71. Then 4.86. Then 5.81. And then 6.70. You want to know what correlated with that whole time? By the way, in between that 2013 that I gave you of 2.27, there was, I think that was the Tommy John. Here's his strikeouts per 9. 9.64 in 2013. Then he got hurt. Came back 8.94. 7.38, we're just going down and down and down. 2017, 6.51. Guess what also correlated with that? The rise in walks every year. It has been horrible after horrible after horrible with Matt Harvey. Yet, we're a man that manages the New York Mets that openly talks about pro dry humping and doesn't realize what the hell he just said is telling us that Matt Harvey is going to be improved this year.
I don't see how it couldn't be improved this year, though, right? Is he really going to have a 6-7 ERA and go 5-7 again?
I mean, 5 straight years have told us.
Let's chicken Harvey. Let's chicken him. Right. He's eating enough cheeseburgers. We need to get him some chicken. Yeah. This is nice grilled chicken
for lean.
Matt Harvey. Yeah, lean grilled chicken for Matt Harvey.
I'm kind of a Harvey apologist, by the way, so this will be a problem.
You are, which is, I'm surprised. You're beating him up here.
I
think you're more
face.
Jealous of Adriana Lima than anything else, but how many games started for Matt Harvey? I'll open up the bidding at 15.
I'll go 18.
I'll go 22.
You're pushing it. 24.
You win.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right, you're done.
Yeah, I think... wins. How wins? No. Let's chicken him.
I mean,
how many wins?
Five.
Six. I'll start at six.
Eight.
You win.
Okay.
Eight. ERA. I'll start. You know what? I'm going to start out positive with this ERA. I'm going to start at 5.
4.5.
4.3.
You win.
Oh, man.
You win. I don't know. I don't know what Harvey is.
You just said you were a Matt Harvey apologist.
You're not apologizing
for him at all. It sounds like you're making excuses.
Well, no, okay. I'm not Matt Harvey. I'm not going to just apologize and give excuses to everything that's gone on. I want to see results. I think it's possible. But Matt Harvey comes at no cost. We just did a mock. He didn't go. And we did a 12-team OBP quality start. He didn't even go in the draft. There's no cost to him right now. I'll monitor it. But I think it's a bunch of bull crap. Did you hear, by the way, Mickey Callaway says, dry humping, guys, is something I feel strongly about. And then he was referring to?
He was referring to getting guys warmed up in the bullpen and not coming into the game.
Okay, that's not what dry humping is, Callaway.
Well, I think it was, you know, obviously euphemism, so.
You think?
Yeah, I believe. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think you're giving too much credit. I think he might legitimately think of dry humping as this.
It's because he's not an eighth grade boy, so.
Okay, well, I mean, maybe that's part of Matt. Maybe Matt Harvey was the one. He's like telling me like dry humping. I'm back. Like, shut up. I'm so sick of him. I don't know how to view any of this. There's dry humping. Matt Harvey's in the best shape of his life. There's no way that's true until I see it. I don't want to. As soon as his jersey isn't busting by the seam, like me wearing an extra large, I don't want it to be bursting from the seams. I want to actually see it.
Condom on a watermelon.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it looks like. All right, we'll be back. It's In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. We're going to talk about some baseball news. Then we got a little bit of All-Star game and some football. So don't go anywhere. It's In This League.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. We are last segment of hour two, but it's
brought
not over.
By Carl's Jr.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr. But it's not over. Remember, you guys are used to it being over after that. That's not the truth anymore, because we're now a three-hour show on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In This League, 3 hours of goodness, and it has been all fantasy baseball. We're going to finish it up baseball, but we are going to talk some football and basketball. They got the All-Star activities going on this weekend. Just on Friday, there was the stupid celebrity game, and they'll have a bunch of other dumb, stupid activities that are going on. There's some dumb football news, but there's also dumb baseball news. Lots of it, but none the ones that we want, like Moustakas, Hosmer, J.D. Martinez, at least as we are doing this.
Yeah, it was Eduardo Nunez.
Whoa! Eduardo Nunez!
If Eduardo Nunez had wound up anywhere but Boston, I would actually be pretty excited for him.
100%, but like Eduardo Nunez...
You like that? You like that?
No, I don't, because I want J.D. Martinez to sign. I want other players to sign. I am so sick of it. I am getting so, so sick of it. Just get these guys in camp.
We're going to a game in a week. We'll have already been home from the game at this point.
1 week
next
from today, we will be at a freaking game. Well, the day before, I plan to try to go do some media stuff at games. Spring training is here. J.D. Martinez, Hosmer, Moustakas, all these players. I mean, you know, last week, it's funny, as we were talking right before it aired, we had already had the Darvish segment, and then Darvish like signs, you know, right as it happened. So that'll probably be the same thing. J.D. Martinez will already be signed as everyone's listening to this. But it's dumb. And Eduardo Nunez is the thing we have to get excited about. And you nailed it. Probably the worst spot it could have happened. The worst situation for his value was the Boston Red Sox, because he's going to go back to being a super utility player. It's great that he's going to get 450 at-bats, but let's get him 600. He's a super valuable guy at 600. I'm going to move him down now.
Yeah, you have to. And, I mean, at the beginning of the season, he's probably going to be pretty great, because right now he's supposed to hit play second base, because Pedroia is going to miss a chunk at the beginning of the season, probably just the first, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. He's trying to get back for opening day, but I don't know if that's really realistic. But so Nunez is going to start at second, and he's going to be hitting between Betts and Benintendi. I mean, that's a good place to be. So this is also the type of player that you may want to draft and then trade before Pedroia gets back, or if he is playing. But here's my question, the Welsh. So we have Eduardo Nunez. He's going to play second. So Pedroia comes back, and he plays at second because, you know, Pedroia is a Red Sox legend. You're not going to bench him. Eduardo Nunez probably plays some outfield, right? Like, but they got Betts, Benintendi, and Bradley. So Bradley Jr. is kind of going to take a giant hit. I think he takes a bigger hit than Eduardo Nunez here.
Yeah,
is he draftable?
I mean, I haven't been drafting Jackie Bradley. So funny, because I keep going back to thinking about the debate that we have in the book, the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, probably the most contentious one of all of them for Bogman and Ida Wright. He complained and bitched me on the phone for so long, was about the Jackie Bradley Jr., the one that I had Jackie Bradley Jr. He had another player that you got to get the book to check out, and he was like, give me a break. He's like, I don't even know how to write this. Well, all things considered, I think the other guy won, and it's continuously looking better.
And you know what I did? I made predictions. I said, I think that Jackie Bradley Jr. could take a hit if Eduardo Nunez signs, and part of it came true, I also said, you know, JD Martinez signs, and, you know, we're all over the place with Boston. You know, I know we are hopeful for JD Martinez to sign with our Arizona Diamondbacks because we're giant homers and we want to have fun watching the games this year, you know, to come into Chase Field and hit 13 home runs because of the humidor, JD Martinez. But if this lineup also adds JD Martinez, he's probably in a DH, right? Because he's not a good fielder.
Yeah, so. Well, one thing I was going to point out, too, is it's interesting you pick on Jackie Bradley Jr., which I think is true. But if JD Martinez signs, I think it's a death sentence. Because I think another thing that the Red Sox, and I mean to jump ahead of what you were getting at, but I think they could move Devers over to DH or first if they wanted, and they could, and Eduardo Nunez could play some third if they want to play around with it. That could be another thing you see. Devers could be the first baseman, and Eduardo Nunez could play third, which actually, now that I'm thinking about it, could help the value. But JD Martinez there all but more kills the potential value of Jackie Bradley Jr.'s overall playing, that I'm into your statement that he might not even be draftable.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have, how about another platoon player? Jackie Bradley Jr. or Josh Reddick? I'd rather have Reddick.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Reddick. I don't really like, neither
Reddick
one of them are guys
in the lineup, too. I mean, he hits like 5, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is projected to hit 9, which is, I mean, 9 hitting for Boston is a good spot to be in because you're still in Boston's lineup.
I got one for you.
But go ahead.
Jackie Bradley Jr. or David Peralta, who's leading off for the Diamondbacks, but humidor.
I'd rather have Peralta. You know, I don't think Peralta is struggling for his job. I think Tomas is. So as long as Peralta's healthy, he's in there. You know, on a day-to-day basis, you have to go to the lineup and see if Jackie Bradley Jr. is in there. I think if David Peralta's healthy, he's playing. So I would rather have Peralta. And that one's kind of not close to me. But, this move is a nice move for Boston because Nunez can play all over the place, like you said. So they have an injury. He can slide in. But first base and DH are already contentious with Moreland and Hanley Ramirez in there. They signed JD. He's probably going to DH. Hanley's going to slide over first. Moreland's out. Jackie Bradley Jr. will be out half the time because when Pedroia comes back, Nunez will play outfield. You said before, also Devers can slide over to DH. Nunez can play
third.
I mean, Nunez is literally super utility. He can play any position but catcher.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, but Devers can go over and play first because the Red Sox have not solidified that first base situation outside of Mitch Moreland, which is, you know, whatever.
We've seen a couple of people taking flyers on Hanley at the end of the draft, and I don't
know. I always forget about Hanley. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Hanley.
I really like Hanley at the end of the draft at this point. But if they sign JD Martinez, I just don't know, man.
Yeah, I think that's one thing they'd want to do is if JD doesn't go to Boston, I guess that's where my brain was going, is Hanley Ramirez is locked in as the DH. He's locked in as the DH because they don't want to put him out on the field, and that's where that situation would come to. You know, on the ranks, you have Eduardo Nunez at 100. I have him at 114. At this moment, where are you going to go? How much further down? Here's some guys you have below him. Ronald Acuna, Travis Shaw.
I think I'm looking right now at having him at 156.
Eduardo Nunez? Wow, that's a massive drop.
I mean, he's not going to play every day. And the stolen base potential goes down a little bit playing in the AL. I think when he moved to Boston, I'd have to double check, but I think when he moved to Boston, he also didn't steal as many bases. So I'll have to go and
take a
look at Baseball Reference. But
and I'd probably have him... I might have him a little bit higher, but I'm going to have him somewhere in the 140s. He's going
to. So I looked and I said to myself,
self,
the Welsh, would you rather have Eduardo Nunez in Boston or would you rather have Josh Bell?
Eduardo Nunez, I could still be cool with, especially if those stolen bases and that versatility are really important. You know what? I'm actually going to say Eduardo Nunez because I don't think I'm going to find myself in a situation where Josh Bell makes sense for my team.
So I'm looking right here, and this is actually kind of funny. He only had 6 stolen bases for the Red Sox. And he played 38 games there last season. He had 18 in 76 games for the Twins. But the Twins run more, but his homers went up. He had 8 homers in 38 games for the Red Sox, so his homer numbers did go up. So I might have him a little bit higher than that. But, I mean, like, would you rather have Nunez or Joey Gallo?
Well, that's right where I'm going to have him. I think I would pick Nunez, but I am increasingly becoming a little bit more Gallo homerish. I think that average is going to get better. How about this one around your range? Nunez or Javier Baez?
Yeah, see, that's that's tough.
I mean, mine is Baez easy, but.
Yeah, I think I'd probably take Baez too at this point. I mean, I don't know. I really don't like Baez.
Yeah, you know, it's not that I don't like Baez.
I like Baez, but I also like Hap and Madden is crazy. So you're probably looking at this. You know what? I'm going to take Nunez. I'll take Nunez.
Okay.
But I think that's a tier right there because you look at Paul DeJong. Paul DeJong's going to play every day. I'd rather have Paul DeJong.
How about Danny Salazar, who I think both of us like walked into this season kind of liking, but
yeah,
he's definitely experienced an onset of right shoulder rotator cuff inflammation through mid-January. That is literally the worst bit of news that Danny Salazar can have, is that guy cannot ever get it together. I mean, it's going to make, I can't do it. I just,
I'm
I
all
don't
the
think
way
I can
out.
Do it. Oh, you're all the way out? Ooh.
All the way. I'm all the way out.
Like how far?
All the way out.
Like where do you have him right now?
I'm 133. I won't draft him now. I'm sick of Danny Salazar missing games. The dude missed games all the time. I thought, all right, he has all of this high-end potential because he does. He strikes out like a million dudes. But this is like, you know, this is a broke-ass version of Steven Strasburg here, and I don't want to mess with Steven Strasburg. You know, last year Salazar got relegated to the bullpen. He struggled mightily. He had that sexy, sexy K per nine rate, but he's already had inflammation. He hit 30 starts in 2015, 25 in 2016, 19 last year. And before that, he was 20 and 10. The dude is constantly hurt. I just can't do it. I can't put my chips all in. Like, he would have to dramatically fall for me to take Danny Salazar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking through my rank here. I think I had him at 145. I mean, he is going to go. I mean, he might come out of the top 200. Okay, here's one for it. Well, can you get out of your like hate brain for a minute?
I'm trying.
Okay, try this. Let's say that spring training comes around and things are better, but you still have this in the back of your head. Danny Salazar or Chase Anderson?
Chase Anderson.
It's just not even close because you can't get it out of your head, can you?
I mean, I like Chase Anderson a little bit. I know you don't like him, but he had a very, very good season last year. Danny Salazar right now is going off around pick, 159 at this point. Right around, man, he's around a bunch of hitters. The Jeff Samardzija, he's just behind Samardzija. I'd much rather have Sharp, right?
Yeah, 1,000 times over.
Fulmer, Michael Fulmer.
Yeah, this is, and these are not adjusted. I mean, now with this concern.
But I mean, okay, how about Garrett Richards? Same type of concern as Danny Salazar.
I'm going to go Garrett Richards. I got one for you. Tywon Walker or Danny Salazar?
Walker.
It's easy. I got Walker in the 190s.
Yeah, I'd take Walker. I don't think it's close.
Yeah, I'm going to move him down there. What about Michael Wacha or Danny Salazar? I'm going to go Wacha. Wacha.
I think I might go Salazar. No, I can't. I can't. I'm not going to take it. I'm all the way out. No way.
Oh, I got okay. Last one for you.
I'm pulling out. I'm not having a baby with Danny Salazar.
Oh, getting dicey. Getting dicey there, Bogman. I don't know about that one.
Like Kobayashi.
Aaron Sanchez or Danny Salazar?
I actually kind of like Aaron Sanchez on a bounce back, so I go with Sanchez.
Okay.
I mean, Sanchez had blisters last year. Danny Salazar has inflammation in his throwing shoulder.
Okay, I got the
already.
Best one for you.
He hasn't thrown a ball yet, and he already has inflammation. What the hell, man? You got to be out.
He just gets off the plane, and he's like, ow.
Yeah, it's like when you sleep on your shoulder and you wake up as a normal, regular dude that doesn't play sports for a living. You're like, my shoulder kind of hurts. He has the same thing.
All right, how about
I don't
this
want
one?
A dude that's getting the same type of stuff as my body.
Danny Salazar or Tim Lincecum?
Danny Salazar.
Tim Lincecum, though. He had a showcase the other day, sitting 90 to 93. He did it in Seattle, and like half of the major league teams came to check out the workout. Are you buying? Is there any chance if he signs a minor league contract with the the whoever, you know. Give me a team. The Cardinals.
With them.
The what?
The Giants are looking at a reunion with him potentially here.
I mean, I feel like that's a bullpen thing. He's going to want to start. You know, maybe the Marlins. The Marlins want to give him a shot.
Oh, God. I tell you what, Tim Lincecum doesn't have shoulder inflammation.
He doesn't.
So
it's at 90 to 93.
I don't care. I'm not taking he is a waiver wire ad. You have to see him pitch like three good games in a row.
Tim Lincecum or newly Orioles signed Andrew Cashner. The Orioles signed Andrew Cashner because sure.
Option three, I'll take the noose.
Yeah, I'll take none of them. I'll take Carlos Rodon, who is not going to pitch till May.
Zero shares of either one of those dudes. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I think you got to be out on Danny Salazar after this inflammation thing. It's just, it's too much. You know, the dude is too hurt all the time.
Oh. Danny Salazar or Matt Harvey?
Salazar.
Oh, that's just
I guess
hateful.
I'm not all the way out.
You're not all, that's hateful.
I mean, look,
hateful.
If Danny Salazar falls to the last round, of course I'll take a flyer on him. I'll take him before that, too.
He's not going to fall that far. Like, this is just speculation. Not. This is a speculation of a hurt shoulder right now.
There's always a tribe homer. You know, there's always someone willing to take a risk on him. I'm just not... Just not going to do it, man.
I'm going to say this is going to...
Before hearing about this, too, because he has a giant ceiling. But the floor is he starts 20 games, goes to the bullpen, and starts a couple games in the minors.
This is going to probably affect his ADP. If he was in the 150s, I'll bet you he's going to go in the 160s or 70s or something like that. It's not going to... You're all the way out, which means you won't own him. That's what that means. It doesn't mean everyone else is not going to own him, because I think he will. I think he's going to go inside the top 200 no matter what. People are going to take that risk because of his strikeout potential. That's just what it is.
And you're right. And I think that's why I won't own him, because someone will take him there.
All right. Well, that's the end of hour two. One more hour coming at you. You thought we were over? We got more for you. We're going to talk some basketball, all-star game. We got some football action, and... You guys planning for your dynasties and NFL draft? Bogman's got you covered with some prospects. So don't go anywhere. It's Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back.